I'm a pretty patient guy. I got a long fuse. We talked about that back in the fall, that love has a long fuse. I feel like I got a really long fuse, but at the end of that fuse is a fairly large nuclear bomb, okay, if I'm just being honest with you. So one of the things that irritates me more than just about anything else is the caricature of men that our society has attempted to portray over the last, I don't know, several decades. And it just irritates me to no end. And I remember one night we were sitting around and we're watching TV, and I don't even remember what we were watching. And Abby's looking at me and she's like, you're getting like visibly angry. What is wrong? What is happening? And I was. And I said, I'm just so sick and tired of this stupid man game that every single show plays. And she looked at me like I had a third eye right there. And she's like, what are you talking about? And then I explained what I meant. And she went, oh. Because I explained that in just about every modern show, the man or the dad is an idiot. He is. He's not there for nothing but comic relief. And it's a good thing that mom is there, because she's going to have to save the day, because without her, dad's going to burn the house down. Everything will be ruined. Everything will be destroyed, because he's not a serious person. He's not responsible. He can't fix anything. He can't protect anybody. He's useless. He's definitely not the hero of any of the story, because he's fat and lazy and useless, and I hate it. Okay, so unless you're watching an action movie that's just made specifically for guys, this is the male figure in the show that you're watching. And I saw the light come on in her eyes like it's coming on in some of your all's eyes right now. And you went, huh, that's exactly right. And it makes me so angry, and here's why. Here's why it makes me angry, because you cannot tell generations of men over and over and over and over and over again that they're big, useless children and then wonder why they didn't grow up. You can't tell them that they don't matter and then wonder why they're depressed. You can't tell them that nobody needs them and then wonder why they just sit around and play video games, don't do nothing. You can't tell them they're worthless and then wonder why they don't do anything, that they just sit around and be passive. So we're going to confront this nonsense head on today, okay? And gentlemen, I'm just going to warn you now, buckle up, because there will be no punches pulled, okay? We're going to talk for the next 3 weeks about your purpose, about why God created you. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about what it means to be the men that we need. And make no mistake about it, men, we need you. We need you. You have a role to play. You do. And I know that our society likes to pretend that there are no differences between men and women, but that's a lie. It's not true. It never has been, and it never will be. Now listen, men and women were both created by God. They have equal value, but they have different roles. They are different. We are different. We have different roles to play in our families, in our churches, in our society. And so for the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk specifically to and about men. So men, you need to be here. You need to be here. And ladies, don't tune me out. Stick with me on this. Because if you're married, this is the standard to which you need to hold your men. And if you're not married yet, these are the kind of men you need to be looking for. Don't settle for anything less than a man who is pursuing his God-given purpose. And ladies, lest you feel left out, here in about a month, we're going to start a series called Women of God, and we'll come for you too, okay? All right, so just hang with me, all right? But masculinity, at its core, is about responsibility. It's about taking responsibility. But men, you and I, we have a tendency to be passive. And there are a lot of reasons for that, but we ain't here to talk about excuses right now. Because we're not meant to be passive. It's time to become the men that God has called us to be. It's time to become the men that we need. And from the very, very beginning, like Genesis beginning, men have been tasked with responsibility. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open it up to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to start at the very beginning. Genesis chapter 2. If you're following along in the YouVersion Bible app, you can hit the event tab and look for Swiss Cove. You can follow along in there as well. Here's what Scripture has to say. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, which is a great name for a little girl, by the way, if I do say so myself. Okay? And there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden, there were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." So, let's recap. What's Adam supposed to do? What is he supposed to do? He's supposed to work the garden. He's supposed to take care of it. He was responsible for the garden. And he knew full well what he was supposed to do. And he knew full well what he was not supposed to do. He was not supposed to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. His task was to be the keeper of the garden. And pretty soon, God made Eve, and she was spectacular. She was incredible. She was to be his helper, which, by the way, doesn't mean assistant. Okay, well, we're going to talk about that in depth in a few weeks before you ladies start throwing things at me. Okay, we're going to talk about exactly what that means. But just hang with me for a second. Everything was perfect until it wasn't, because pretty soon, trouble started brewing in paradise. In chapter 3, it says, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." And then the man and the wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "Well, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he, God, said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "Well, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit of the tree, and I ate it." There's a couple things I want you to notice right here. First is this. Adam left his post, and the world's been suffering ever since. Adam left his post, and the world's been suffering ever since. My man's standing right there. When Eve is talking to the serpent, what'd he say? Nothing. Not one thing. He stood passively by and then willingly participated in a rebellion against God. And I'm not saying that Eve bears no blame for what happened that day. She knew they weren't supposed to eat of the tree as well. But I want you to notice something else. When God shows up in the garden, who's he looking for? Not her. Not her. Why not? Because Adam was supposed to be the keeper of the garden. Adam was responsible for what was happening in that moment. And instead of taking responsibility, he stood passively by and then participated in the rebellion. And then, after all that, he said, "Well, it's her fault. She did it." Then he tried to shift the blame to his wife. And men, this is not who we've been called to be. That's not who we're supposed to be. And I want you to contrast that, the first Adam, with Jesus, who's known in Scripture a lot of times as the second Adam. Won't you look at this from John chapter 12. Jesus is talking and he's predicting his death, and he doesn't want to die because nobody wants to die. Okay? Jesus, we see it over and over. He said, "I don't want to go to the cross, but God, this is what you've called me to do." And here's what he said in John chapter 12. Jesus said, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour?" No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. "Father, glorify your name." Jesus said, "What am I supposed to do? Pray that God will save me from the purpose for which I came?" No. My prayer is, God, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and I'll glorify it again. See, Jesus knew his purpose. He knew why he came. He didn't sit passively by, and he didn't shift the blame either, which he could have because he didn't do anything wrong. Okay? Instead, he took the blame for you and me. He took responsibility to fulfill the mission that God had given him. He gave his life for you, and he gave his life for me so that we could be forgiven of our sin, so that we could be reunited with God in the relationship that was broken in the garden all those years ago. And listen, if you're here today and you're like, man, I would really like to talk to somebody about my relationship with God because it feels like it's broken, please come talk to one of us before you leave today. I'll be down here in just a minute. I'd love to chat with you about it. If you don't want to come down front or you don't want to talk to me, find somebody else that has a name tag on. That means they're a staff member or they're one of our elders here. We would love to talk with you about what it means to take your next step of faith. And maybe today's the day for you where you say, I want to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of my sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit. I was talking to somebody last week in the atrium, and they said, we want to be baptized. And I said, that sounds great. When do you want to do it? And they said, well, how soon can we do it? I said, I'll interrupt the song right now. Let's go. Okay? Don't put this off. Let's talk about this. This is the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. But we all have sin in our lives. And we all have this tendency to kind of shift the blame. And gentlemen, I just want you to know that people are going to find it very, very refreshing when you stop doing that. How refreshing is it when something goes wrong and a man says, that's my fault, I will fix it. Instead of, well, they did it. It's very different. It's rare, it's beautiful, and it's a strong thing to do. Masculinity at its core, again, is about taking responsibility. And that, my friends, is a series of choices that you have to make every single day. And I love this quote. I want to share with you a little bit of James Clear. He's an author. He talks a lot about habits, okay? And he said, a profitable business is never a choice. It's a series of choices. A fit body is never a choice. It's a series of choices. A strong relationship is never a choice. It's a series of choices. And if I may add a little bit onto that, living for Jesus is not a choice. It's a series of choices. Fulfilling your purpose is never a choice. It's a series of choices that we make every single day in the real world. And Brant Hansen wrote a fantastic book called The Men We Need, which, by the way, add that to your Amazon list. It's incredible, especially you gentlemen. And he writes this in the book. He said, man was created to take responsibility. So if a guy's life is about entertainment options, using women for sexual pleasure, smoking some weed, and modifying his car, he's not yet a man. He's stuck in boydom. And God loves him dearly, yes, and I'm rooting for him, but he's not the man the world needs him to be, not yet. And wow, do we need him to grow up. Masculinity is about taking responsibility, and we naturally respect men who do, don't we? We naturally do. We respect men who take responsibility for their own lives. We respect men even more who take responsibility for the lives of their family. And we have immense respect for men who take responsibility for those beyond their families and outside their homes. And so many of you men, you're here today and you're struggling with this sense of meaninglessness. And you need to understand something. And I love you, so I'm just going to give it to you straight, okay? You're going to struggle with a sense of meaninglessness as long as you continue to give your life to meaningless things. You will. That's how that works. Okay, because too many of us, we settle for fake while the real world burns to the ground all around us. But fake is more fun and the stakes are way lower. Because if you mess up on the fake stuff, you hit reset and start again and try again. And you don't have to work nearly as hard to become the man that you know you need to be if you can just pretend to be that person. Meanwhile, the real world needs you. The real world really does need you. So while you're watching TV, engrossed in a fake story or some movie. Your family's story is passing you by. While you're playing video games, pretending to save the day, there are people, real people in the real world who really do need your help. While you're hiding in the other room looking at pornography, you are destroying your ability to have an intimate relationship with your wife or your future wife. And listen, gentlemen, none of that stuff's real. None of it's real. None of it means anything. And when you give your life to meaningless things, a sense of meaninglessness is inevitable. As a side note, I feel like I can say this with confidence. The ladies will correct me if I'm wrong. Every single woman loves a man who does real things in real life. She's not impressed by a man who rescued the entire virtual division in Call of Duty. Okay? She is impressed by the man who's willing to give his life for other people. Every single woman loves a man who rises above a crowd of do-nothings. Ladies, am I wrong? I didn't think so. And listen, I'm not saying you should never take a break. I'm not saying you should never rest or never relax or never watch TV or never play video games. But for the record, you should never look at porn. That is sinful. And by the way, gentlemen, it is cheating on your wife. Okay? It is. You should never be doing that. Okay? I'm not saying never take a break, never relax. I am saying don't give your life to that stuff. Don't waste your life on what's fake. Invest your life in the real thing. Because you were created to add value to things and to people's life. You want to eliminate that sense of meaninglessness in your life? Remember, you're a keeper of the garden. You've been tasked with responsibility. You're here to protect the vulnerable, to heal the sick, to be a voice of peace. You are here to create, to add beauty, to cultivate, to defend, and hopefully to add value to the lives of the people around you. And you know what I noticed? I noticed that people who actively serve others don't struggle with a sense of meaninglessness in their life. At least not even close to the same degree. So let me ask you this. What's your vision for your life? Let me ask that another way. Who are you trying to become? I have a note in my phone that just says the man I want to be, and it has a whole bunch of stuff underneath it. And I want to challenge you, men. Do the same thing. The man I want to be, what? What comes next? You going to coast through life? Are you going to take responsibility? You going to shift the blame? You're going to step up. You're going to be a keeper of the garden? Because listen to me, men, the bigger vision is going to win every single time. And once you see it, there's no going back. Because once you see it, we've got to do whatever it takes to make it possible. And listen, I didn't come here today just to make you feel guilty and bad about yourself so you'll do some stuff. What I want to do today, men, is call you to more. Because there's more that God wants for your life. There's more that he wants for mine. And this is who we were created to be. We weren't meant to just sit passively by and watch everything that unfolds and hope that it doesn't go too badly. That's not what he created you to do. We're meant to step up and take responsibility. And when we do, we're going to come alive like never before. The world is in desperate need of men like this. Of men who are willing to say, listen, I know Adam didn't do the job. And I know that I'm going to mess it up too sometimes, but with whatever I have, I'm going to do it. I got a mission, and I accept it, and I'm ready. And yeah, there are things that you can't do. We talked about one of them earlier. You can't get rid of the sin in your own life. Only Jesus can do that, and I'm so thankful for him, aren't you? I praise God for that every day. Just because there are some things that you can't do doesn't mean you have no responsibilities. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next 2 weeks. I hope you'll make plans to be here. We're going to talk about your responsibilities to others and your responsibilities to yourself. It's time to step up, gentlemen. So let's do it together. Let's pray. God, thanks for today. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for the chance to come and worship you. Thanks for what you're doing in our lives and what you're about to do in this place. Thank you so much for sending Jesus to do what we could never even have hoped to accomplish. May we never take his sacrifice for granted. And may we step into the calling that you've placed on our lives. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.